The treat for you is the fact that the Cluess family is going to read Scripture. I asked Amanda if she would introduce the kids again. You got to get to know people's names, right? You don't know my name, right? Same. Okay, good. So what we're going to do is I'm going to have Amanda introduce them, and then they are going to do the Scripture reading from Luke chapter 2. It's the common Christmas passage from Luke chapter 2. You've heard it 100 times. I think one of the greatest things is to read it and study it without all the pressure of getting gifts, Christmas trees, and all that other stuff. This is just pure looking at this Scripture, which is what our community groups did this week. Pay close attention, because when we're done with the Scripture reading, we then have an activity that we're going to do together. So, Amanda, thanks for doing this, you guys. I appreciate it.
Well, it's great to be here. We are a family of six. There's only four of us here. We're missing Martin, my husband, and Mason, who's feeling a little under the weather, so they're together. My name's Amanda. This is Kyla, our oldest. Mason is next, who's not here. Then we have Jaden and Ava. And we're happy to be here with you guys. We're going to read from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 20. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee, and he took with him Mary, to whom he was engaged, who was now expecting a child.
And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people."
The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about."
They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
Thank you very much. We appreciate that. Thank you, guys. Excellent job. You've heard that scripture I don't know how many thousands of times from the time you were little. We're going to do something with it now, though, and that is this. Without the pressure of your gift list, without the pressure of anything you have to do after this to finish up your Christmas shopping, put tinsel on your tree, or any of that other stuff, which usually accompanies this scripture, we have the freedom to look at it for what it is, the birth of Jesus Christ with some of the things that went on. Not all of them, I'm sure. I'm going to ask you right now, just in 30 seconds, to stand up and find another person or two that you can stand with and talk for a couple minutes. And this is what you're going to share with each other. From this scripture, what's one fact to you stands out of all of this scripture? Out of this Word of God, which is, by the way, why we read it out loud, because it honors God when His Word is read. Out of this scripture, the Word of God, what fact in there, what event, what something in there really strikes you and impresses you? Everybody got the assignment? Groups are two or three. Stand, go find them. Not with somebody you know, maybe. You found your seat? Okay. Interesting discussion. Kind of a commonality that it's kind of fun to study this scripture without sitting in somebody's home decorated for Christmas. You get the idea. It's just different. We can just look at it for what it is and how great it is without being distracted by the stuff we've attached to Christmas. Raise your hand if you heard something that was really kind of neat you want to share. I'm going to come find you with the microphone. What did you share in your group that was noteworthy? Mildred and I were doing a critical literary analysis of that scripture, and good job. That's right. We were taking every word apart. We should be lawyers. Good. Okay, who'd like to share? Put your hand up. I will come find you. Put your hand up and stand up and share with us an observation from.
It just struck me that Mary pondered the things because she didn't understand what was going on. She was trying to understand. And I thought, well, that's often my case. You know, God's working, but I have no idea what he's doing. And I don't understand what he's doing.
That's pretty cool. And that's pretty true, by the way. Maybe when we encounter the divine, that's our reaction. We ponder it. Maybe that's a good way to go. Somebody else, hand up. I will come find you with the microphone. Any balcony people? Come on up here. So maybe we can see you. That's why.
Well, Devin made a great point about the message that the angels had, that the good news was for everybody, that would bring great joy to all people, not just for a certain group of people.
Excellent. Which, by the way, encompasses us, right? All people, us. Okay, come on up. Let's keep going. Balcony folks have got a lot to share, a lot to teach us.
Me and Jaden thought it was cool how there's like an army of angels from heaven.
That's amazing. Yeah, Mary had one visit. The shepherds had a whole throng, whatever that means. Anybody else in the balcony before I leave the balcony? Good job, Devin. People speaking for you. I like that. That's good. Okay. Well done. Okay. Someone else real quick before we roll on here? I am moving around. Bob, I'm coming your way, buddy.
The translation that was used for one part of it where it said that the glory of the Lord was round about the shepherds really amplified that particular text. And I loved the way it did it. And it was making me think, is this talking about the Shekinah glory of God that had left the temple? The Shekinah glory of God returning to Israel, and the shepherds were there to be the first witness of it.
Wow. Okay, we're going to stop there and meditate on that for about the next hour. That's amazing. Great insight. Thank you. Really good. Anybody else? Real quick, Jerry.
I'd never noticed before we started looking at this week, and it's not a huge significant thing, but Joseph and Mary weren't alone there. It says that all who heard what the shepherds said marveled at it and rejoiced. And so there were lots of people there because there were lots of people who didn't find a place to stay at the inn.
Very good. And this sounds to me, even if I was in the inn, that there was a commotion factor going on. And remember, there's no cable TV or any of that stuff, so when there's a little bit of noise, we're all going to go see what it is. Okay, you get the idea. This would be great stuff. Just happen to stop at that inn for the census, and guess what? Now this is taking place. We're going to go look at that, honey. Come on, let's go outside. I imagine there's a great amount of people out there. Anybody else real quick? Get this done. I am absolutely shocked and want to say to each one of you, shame on you. Shame on you. The most remarkable thing in that passage is what? Is it just me? Okay. Jesus, the God of the universe, is now laying as an infant wrapped on a cold night, kind of partially outside. That's amazing. All right. Second most phenomenal thing in this passage is what? Is who? Thank you. The shepherds. You've got to be overwhelmed with the shepherds. The shepherds, by this time in the history of Israel, had become the people who were like the outsiders. They were truly not the influential people. They were the outcasts. In a lot of cases, they were the felons. This was the job that you did. And you went out, and oh, by the way, you took a little bit of a hit from the town or the area you worked because you were the people that went out at night and left your wife and kids alone. And you were looked at with disdain because you weren't there to protect them. So here you are out doing, and the reputation was, I'll just say it in the vernacular of today, is a lot of these guys were loose, and a lot of partying went on while watching the sheep. Get it? Sounds like a fun time. I think we'd all like to hang around like these guys. It wasn't a lot of responsibility. It was, but they didn't treat it that way. And there were big groups of them because, now hold on, there were also unscrupulous other people out at night, got a picture, complete darkness, who were out stealing sheep because sheep were worth money. Get the idea? So these guys are out there, and I have no problem with them doing what they're doing, watching sheep and et cetera and et cetera. But while they're out there, the God of the universe decides that he's going to make the announcement about his son born on the planet. And he chooses, now if Mike's writing the story, in those days, the angel appeared and announced the birth of Jesus to the king and to the queen and to all the rulers of Israel and to those who were mayors and those who were governors and all of them. He woke them up at night and told them that the Savior was born. And if that was in this scripture, you would go like this. Yeah, that makes sense. Starting at the top, win those people over. We win them, we got everybody. But yo, he bypasses those folks and goes on down past everybody else to get to some of the lower folks, some of the lowest folks, the shepherds. And you know what? They went back, and the verse that you didn't maybe see, or maybe you did in your group, verse 20, and the shepherds returned. Where'd they go? Back to their fields, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and all that they had seen. In fact, that's what these guys did, was report on what they heard and what they had seen. When they came in from the fields to where the baby was, they apparently share this with everybody, what they had heard and what they had seen. They go back to their jobs, back to their lives, and they are glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and they had seen. So what had they heard? What's the big deal about what they heard? Well, I made a list. They heard good news about the birth of the Savior. They heard the voice of an angel. I don't care how serious you were in your dating life, and I don't know, guys, what you said to your wife to woo her. You have the voice of an angel. Did that work for any of you? Because you all got rings on your fingers and got married. It worked in our case, didn't it? not quite. But listen, they heard the voice of an angel. Some people think that angel is Gabriel. We don't know, but it might fit because he seems to be the messenger along the way with Elizabeth and Mary, etc., etc. And then hold it. They heard many angels. Sorry, musicians. In this case, not singing and praying instruments, playing them. They were saying, in reggae style, glory to God in the highest. Okay, yes, I said that for you. Okay. And they had dreadlocks. Now, you should have seen it, Glenn. It was amazing. Okay, so the point of the matter was, they had seen a fantastic thing, but what did they also heard and what did they saw? Well, if you go back a little bit, they saw something in here, and Bob, you may have hit on it. They saw the glory of the Lord. I've never seen the glory of the Lord. I tend to think if I see the glory of the Lord in this next world, I don't care where we're at, I will be face down all fours in the dirt. Because the glory of the Lord is just an unbelievable thing. And whoever gets to see it is overcome by it. And they got to see the glory of the Lord. They got to see the angel. They got to see the angels. And then let's not forget that they were the ones who saw the baby Jesus as a baby. And I know I can't prove it anywhere, but I have to think there was something different about this child. But I don't know what it is, except he's the Son of God. But I don't know what about him. Scripture said he had no form or comeliness, but as a baby, was there something special? I don't know. It's just something to speculate. Now notice when they went to see the baby Jesus in the reading, you'll see that they had made known what was said. They made known what was told them. And I want you to notice when they made it known, there was a response from the people there. Now I happen to think Mary and Joseph were there. We know that. We also know that I believe that some of Joseph's family may have been there. Why do I say that? Because Joseph had come into town, his hometown, where his family was from, and his other family members were probably coming back to do the same thing. So they would have known Mary was pregnant. She didn't oops and go, whoop, there's the baby. There must have been labor involved, and I wouldn't be surprised, being the typical guy, when she needed him most, he ran out and got some people from his family in there. And that would naturally bring the husbands along. You catch what I'm saying here? I got a little bit of a commotion event going on outside. And now the people in the inn, you picture inns today, you might not even hear much between rooms. But in these days, these inns were like a sheet between rooms. Don't think that there was this beautiful structure. It didn't work that way. So as the commotion started in one place, I believe other people from the inn started to take notice. Again, no cable TV. Honey, let's go see what that noise is. That sounds good. And boom, down they went, and they got to be part of this too. I picture quite a group there in a commotion from the people in the town. Lots of noise. And they heard the shepherd say, you're not going to believe this. We were in the field. We saw this. We heard this. We. And you know what? It records the response here. It says in verse 18, all those who heard it wondered. Wondered, a Greek word that indicates this, a state of surprise. It means to stay in a state of thinking over and over again. There was a lot to take in here, and all who heard the words of the shepherd wondered about it. And then Mary, who's already been noticed here, Mary, the teenage girl, Mary, the young girl who, I got to tell you something, she doesn't get much credit because us Protestants want to be separate from the Catholic Church, and the Catholics had venerated her to co-mediatrix alongside Jesus. You all know that. But we on the Protestant side reacted to that, so we have made sure that we've kept Mary in her place all these years. Just being honest. But the truth of the matter is, out of all the women who've ever lived on this planet, only one was chosen to be the mother of Jesus Christ, and it's Mary. Mary needs to be honored, and she's not typically in Protestant circles. But Mary, if you go back just a little bit to the end of chapter 1, she writes her response to this thing. As a teenage girl, this event of the angel declaring that she's going to be the mother of the Messiah. And you read through what's recorded there in the end of Luke chapter 1, and you go, oh my goodness. This girl had some gears. This girl had some depth to her. And she does need to be honored by us on the Protestant side. Honored as what? The mother of Jesus Christ on this earth, and she'll forever be remembered that way. In fact, history records that Mary, now as an adult, after Jesus is crucified and resurrected, she goes on to be an integral part of the apostles' group after the Holy Spirit came. And you can read some of the historical accounts of how she was in with the biggies of the faith. And hold it, stop right there. It says here that Mary, this young girl, pondered these things in her heart, which is a word similar to meditation, where she's considering it deeply and she's studying it over and over again. And you got to take a step back and ask the logical question. How in the world does Luke, writing this later, know all this stuff? Anybody? Who told him all this? Mary did. Have you ever put that together before? Mary did. Mary, who was involved with the apostles in the first evangelistic efforts for the then known world. Mary was in with these guys. And history also records that Luke, for whatever reason, and Mary developed a very special relationship. And guess what Mary was doing? She's giving him information. Guess what Luke is doing? He's asking questions. And then more questions. And I guarantee you, we don't know 1/1000th of the information that was shared with Luke. And he shares this about the young girl. And Mary pondered these things in her heart because she told him when this was going on around the birth scene of Jesus, it was unbelievable. And I must have played this over in my mind thousands of times at how fantastic this was. And Luke was like, great. And Luke wrote it down so that we can get a key into what this lady is like. The message of Jesus Christ has a deep impact wherever it goes. And you know what? This scripture impacted me in a very interesting way, and not in a way I thought that it would. Listen carefully. Fellowship Week starts tonight. In fact, we remind you by way of an email tonight that Fellowship Week starts right now. And we put something in it, and et cetera. You get the idea. You're a week intentionally set to go spend time with others to represent Jesus Christ, to disciple somebody, or to lead them to Jesus Christ by spending time and sharing the gospel with them. And as I read this, there's one thing I wanted to share with you, and that's this, that the God of the universe, instead of picking out the pretty people, picked out the shepherds. They smell, by the way, too. In fact, you know they say that a married couple starts to look like each other, talk like each other? I'm going to throw this one in you've never thought about. They start to smell like each other, too. And that's not always a compliment. Nobody here, of course. Shepherds hung out with sheep. You ever been around sheep? Boy, they smell so good, don't they? You know what sheep walk in all day? You know what sheep like to roll in? You getting anybody getting an idea here? Okay, you got the idea. The shepherds smelt like you know what. And these lowly shepherds, not ceremonially clean, by the way, to even go into the temple, but they could raise the sheep. That's a whole other discussion for another time. These people get shared first the message that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, has come. And you know how that hit me? Listen, Fellowship Week starts this week. Let this scripture hit you the same way. This made me think very specifically of the fact of who do I share Jesus Christ with? Huh? Mike, you're a pastor. What do you mean, who do you share Christ with? I'll go even further. Who do I qualify and pre-qualify as worth going to share Jesus Christ with? Would I do it with somebody that's not exactly like me? Would I do it with somebody that smells? Oh, I don't mean smells like a shepherd might, but I mean just smells as far as lifestyle. Smells as part of the way they think. It's just not like me. Smells by the way they live and what they drink. Not like me. Would I dare talk to somebody like that about Jesus Christ? And then a bigger indictment in me is this. Who would I avoid with the message of Christ? Who would I avoid? I'd avoid the lowlights that I don't think are worthy to hear this. That's what I would do. I would get very selective and have at times about who I share the message of Christ with. I make a decision many times over who I'm going to share it with and who I'm not. And the ones that are like the shepherds are the knots. And the ones that are kind of those people that smell better and are better, they're the ones that should get my time in the gospel message. And this scripture really challenged me about the fact that if God can make the first announcement about His Son, the Messiah, our Messiah, if He can make that first announcement to the people that smelt like that and were like that, then my goodness, how could I ever qualify who I share Christ with? Why would I not be open to the Holy Spirit to lead me to that person that needs Jesus, no matter what their life situation? The down and outers need Jesus Christ, and it's my commission to go to them as well as God leads. Let me pray for us as we're going toward Fellowship Week, and then we've got one more song we're going to do very worshipfully. I'm very much looking forward to it. Should be fun. Let me pray for you right now. In fact, take these next couple of seconds. Would you do this? Would you commit yourself to Fellowship Week? Commit yourself to Fellowship Week. Meaning, pray this way. Father, lead me to the person or persons that you want me to share the news of Jesus Christ with. Father, make it clear who I'm to share the good news of your Son with. Would you pray that way right now? Asking the Holy Spirit to lead you in every situation He places you. And Father, I now commit Candlewood Church to you. As we look forward to this week, Father, we look forward to this week with the opportunities you're going to give us. And for the situations where we don't have the words, we thank you for that in advance, and we ask that you give us the words. Father, where need be, put us in tough situations. Put us in binds. Cause us to represent your Son, Jesus Christ, very well. It's not just Mike's job. It's everybody's job where He's individually put us, strategically placed us to be Jesus Christ. Father, I commit Candlewood to being just that this week. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.